questioning your thoughts about love. Thoughts and feelings in the pursuit of love. It may seem odd at first to look at grand passions or unhappiness, especially unhappiness about love, in terms of thoughts. Still, if you slow down and take a look, you'll find that there is always a particular thought that triggers any stressful feeling. Anxiety about love is the result of simple childlike thoughts, thoughts that everyone has, even 90-year-olds. I need your love. I'd be lost without you. Unquestioned thoughts like these pretend to guide you toward love when, in fact, they are obstacles to it. People who are upset sometimes say they can't locate the thought that is causing the upset. They can only feel a flood of emotion. This doesn't mean that the thought isn't there. Suppose, for example, you say something heartfelt and he doesn't reply. He just gets up and leaves the room. You're left sitting there feeling as though the world has ended. The thought may be, he isn't interested in me. It may become, why do I bother? No one really cares about me. If you aren't feeling upset right now as you listen to this, remember a past situation in your life where you were very upset. Be still and allow that feeling to recreate itself. If you're upset and can't seem to find the thought behind the emotion, try this. Take some time to travel inwardly toward the place where the feeling is most intense. This means sinking into the physical sensation of the feeling. Let yourself be upset all over again, for your own sake, and this time give it a voice. If the feeling could talk, what would it say, and who would it say that to? Don't rush this. Be precise. Otherwise, you're likely to come up with something that seems wise or kind, the thought you think you should be thinking, instead of the thought that's really there and hurting. Suppose you've just returned from traveling for a week with a new friend and your hopes for the experience were completely dashed. A psychologically correct thought such as, my expectations were too high, isn't what you're looking for when your real feelings are saying, you let me down, you hurt me, you lied. You are not the person you pretended to be. Your actual thought, the one you blurt out in the moment like a child, write that thought down as bluntly as you can. That's the thought we're looking for. Often, within pain or depression, there are thoughts that you've had for so long and held so close that you don't even know they are there. And you've never stopped to see if you even believe them. What if you stopped to ask, what if you had a method of seeing whether you really believe your most disturbing thoughts? The work, it's also called inquiry, is exactly that. Seeing it as a method is only temporary. After you do inquiry for a while, you find that it becomes automatic, your natural way of relating to thoughts. Believing your thoughts comes to seem more and more unnatural, a method of fooling yourself, and it becomes clearer and clearer that inquiry returns you to reality. How do you bring a thought to inquiry? Introducing the work on seeking love and approval. Before the actual instructions for bringing a thought to inquiry, we'll take a tour of the process so that you can get a feel for it. Is it true? After you've found the thought that's upsetting you, the first step is to ask if it's true. That means checking it against your own truth, going inside yourself and seeing if you really believe the thought that's troubling you. Does the thought match what you know as reality? In most cases, it doesn't. There's no reason to believe that thoughts match reality. As you move through life, thoughts appear like shots in the dark. They are no more than vague attempts to figure out what's going on around and inside you. When you're seeking love and approval, many thoughts are aimed at deciphering the behavior of the people you care about or theorizing about what's going on in their minds. In a sense, every thought poses a question, something like, is this what's going on? A thought about something we perceived, if it were expressed accurately, might say, I think he insulted me. Is that what happened? But like children, we tend to focus on the alarming part. He insulted me. We grab hold of it, then react as if the thought were a fact. We go into pain or attack instead of answering the question implied by the thought, he insulted me. Is that what really happened? What if the reason he didn't answer your friendly wave is that he didn't see you because he wasn't wearing his glasses? How do you live with and without that thought? Any feeling of discomfort or stress is an alarm that lets you know you're believing an untrue thought. In this step, you first examine what happens when you believe your thought. You notice in detail what the thought does to your emotional and physical life. Suppose, for instance, that your thought is, George doesn't care about me. Take a good look at how you live when you're in the grip of that thought. How does that thought affect you? How do you treat yourself and others, including George, when you believe that thought? Do you pity yourself? Do you feel hurt and angry? Is this where you become a victim? Do you stop talking to George and give him the look? Do you snap at your colleagues or your kids? Does it affect your sleep? Then you take an imaginative leap. You imagine what your life would be without the thought. If you didn't believe it, or if you were incapable even of thinking it, just for this moment, don't bother about whether or not the thought is true. The point is to experiment, to see what your life feels like when you don't believe that thought. In your imagination, look at George without the thought, he doesn't care about me, and stay with that experience for a while. This step lets you notice the consequences of believing a thought. You thoroughly immerse yourself in life with the thought, and then you give yourself a taste of life without it.